Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it's just one verse. It's the first verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you're able to stand, would you do that for just a minute? Since it's really just this one verse, probably won't be too taxing on you. Let's honor God as I read the word in your hearing, and then we'll ask God to bless our time together. It reads this way: For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have preserved your word for us. Thank you for making our hearts pliable and open to the truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us today to help us understand what has been recorded, to help us understand what it means and how to apply it to our lives. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for interceding for us right now as you know we need help. You know the conditions of our hearts and our minds. You know the challenges that face us. You know the temptations and the distractions. And so would you help us all to be learners here today, and then help us to order our lives in accordance with what you plan to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Now, quickly, by way of review, I want to remind you that last week, as we looked at this section, we saw that God rules over all events, right? And he establishes time frames for all events in human history. That's what we see in those first eight verses there. There's no such thing as luck. You remember, you know how we can say it. I was at the wrong place at the, we say wrong time, but we right time, whichever way you want to say it. The whole idea is that it was no surprise to God. Okay, it was surprising to us that this occurrence took place, but God rules over everything. All right, over all events, all human history. We also saw, as we looked at verse 11, that all events in human history ultimately result in glory for God, right? And that's, my brother, my sister, that's what we have to keep in mind when things don't make sense to you, is that our lives, though we are, in a lot of ways, we become our own, the attention is centered so much on ourselves in our lives. We have to remember that that's not God's design. God wants us to learn to what? Deny ourselves, to humble ourselves. You can't come to Christ unless you deny yourself. And that's a constant challenge in life because I live with me. And circumstances in life affect me. And so I wind up thinking about me more than I should. And so God has to say to me, Willie, the first commandment, the first priority in your life is to learn to love God, right? You were born loving yourself. Now you've got to learn through with this converted heart, this changed heart in you, you've got to learn now to love God, okay? More than yourself. Then you got to learn to love other people. Yeah. Listen to it. More than yourself. And so I have to see that these difficult things that happen in life, though they don't make sense to me, it makes sense to God. And if it makes sense to him, then I ought to be Amen. Good with that, right? Trust in the Lord, what? You know it. With all your heart. And if God is working it out for his glory, then I have to be satisfied, even though it means I have to suffer.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, when you look at Christ, that's the issue, right? He said there was nothing more meaningful in him. His food was to please the Father. That was his pride. And look at how awful his life was. But he was willing to what? Deny himself, right? Philippians 2. He humbled himself. He gave up all of the royalty and the glory of heaven. Humbled himself. Stopped thinking about himself because he was thinking about you and me. And he says, you've got to learn to do that too, right? And so when I look at all the events in my life that are difficult, I can see that there's beauty because God is working out a plan. I fit in it. My suffering fits in it. Everything fits in the beautiful plan, right? And then we saw that God has given all people a sense of eternity. And what we mean by that in verse 11 of Ephesians 3, everybody then has the sense that I want to know how this thing ends, right? You know how you're in something and you just want to know, how's this thing going to turn out? Yeah. You know, I'm on this job and I want to know what's going to happen because I got a difficult supervisor. I got, you know, people who are not working for me or with me, folks trying to tear me down. So I really want to know how it's going to turn out. But God doesn't tell you that. He says, you got to trust me. Because it may get worse before it gets better. Yeah. So you look at the life of Joseph and you just think, oh my. Yeah. You know, as soon as he gets up, bang, he gets slammed back. Yeah. But God keeps bringing him back. You notice Joseph's life? He goes lower, but he also, when he comes back higher. God keeps exalting him. But he doesn't mean for him to get too comfortable there. Is that all right? And so God raises up. God brings down, and so you just trust him. And then we saw that believers must be willing to accept the limitations of our own understanding. And that's just the fact, is sometimes you do want to understand people, understand why they did something to you, but God's just not going to show you that, you know. Understand why people are not grateful, you know. You poured out your heart. You sacrificed. And they didn't even say, not only did they not say thank you then, they haven't said thank you. And I say this for younger parents. Don't get discouraged even with your children when they don't have a sense of gratitude. Because I know my parents were probably the same way. It took me a long time before I became grateful. I didn't understand fully what my mom and my dad had done for me. And so oftentimes it doesn't happen until you have children of your own and you realize. But, you know, along the way, before I had children, I realized what my dad had done for me. What he didn't have money to give me, but he gave me all that he had and taught me how to live, you know. And how to function in life. He taught me how to work. He gave me the courage not to be afraid of things. You know? And so you accept the fact that we got limited understanding. I don't understand why this situation is the way it is, but I'm going to trust God through it. Right? And that's the beautiful life of the believer. You remember how Ecclesiastes 3:11 said it: all things are beautiful in its time. Right? And so that's the joy of trusting God. He brings beauty out of ashes, something that seems like no. What was this deal with Jesus? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You remember that old saying? And I'm sure people look at our lives and they say the same thing. Nothing good is going to come out of your life. But God shows their understanding is limited. Right? So, as we come to this one verse today, and we won't be very long. As we come to this one verse today, I'm going to talk about two thoughts. I'm going to look at what I call divine appointments, and then secondly, human compliance. Divine appointments and human compliance. So when you look at verse 1, let's go to verse 1. or our text, which is verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The Hebrew word there for season actually means appointed time. Okay? It means appointed time or appointment, if you will. Can you hold your place there in Ecclesiastes 3 and turn to Nehemiah? Go back in the Old Testament just a little bit. We're looking for Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 6. Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2, 6. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? This is Nehemiah making his request, right, to go do the repairs at Jerusalem. So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him, here's our word, a time. In other words, I gave the king the appointed time that I would return. And that's our word here that's used for season. One other one, just to take a quick look. Could you go just a little bit further to Esther? The next book after Nehemiah. Esther chapter 9 and verse 27, we find our word again. The Jews firmly bound themselves and their offsprings and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written at, here's our word, the time appointed every year. All right? So that's the idea. This, for everything there's a season, everything there's an appointed time. Okay? And so that's the reason I call these divine appointments. Now, here's the point. Even though people around the world, if you think about this, people around the world live in different time zones. Like, you know, right now, I mentioned to you all that Phillip's in California. Well, you know, they're 2 hours, what, earlier than us. And so even right here in our country, we have different time zones, right? But around the world, I mean, the difference, the diversity, gets wider, right? But the fact is, time is the same everywhere. Time is the same regardless of what time zone you're in. Time itself is the same. And so in every language, in every culture, in every society, there is this common factor of time. God has defined a day and other divisions of time based on phases of the sun and moon, right? So, I want you to look at this real quick. Hold your place there and go back to Genesis 1. In this particular case, this is the reason time is the same everywhere. It began in the book of Genesis. God is the one who, as you remember, created time. And he established the way we would distinguished time. You got verse 8, Genesis, let's look at 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and years. So God established time for all of humanity. All around the globe, time is the same. There are different time zones, but everybody has the same amount of time. Okay? God ensured that that would be the consistency, if you will, of time. And also I noticed that there is what I call a consistency of events. Now, I want you to track me. You're going to have to think a little bit this morning, but you won't have to think. You won't have to think long, but track me on this. Even though people around the world live in these vastly different cultures, the events in the culture are the same. Okay? And here's the way the author breaks it down for us. Existence and survival is, in order for it to go on, God has ensured that every culture, every society all around the world has these same events. In other words, people have to be born for people to exist, right? And this may, you may not readily grasp this, but people also have to die. Okay? There has to be this cycle of life. Otherwise, there would just be this perpetual growth of population, of exhaustion of resources. Now, that's only intended for heaven, for glory, that there will be, what, perpetual life, no death. But in this life, God has designed for every culture and every society all around the globe, these events are the same, right? Life and death. There's planting, there's reaping. There's no shortcut to getting food, all right? God has designed it to come through normal processes, right? Planting and reaping. God builds up in certain societies, and he tears down. These events are the same. If you remember what the writer says in verse 9, there's nothing new, what, under the sun. And why did he say that? Because he has observed what's going on in the world, and in every culture, you have to deal with these same events. Now, I want you to notice this. What we're reading here was, these events described for us was written about 3,000 years ago. And you and I are sitting here thinking that is exactly right. People are born and they die. We plant crops. You know, Monsanto has a monopoly on seeds and this whole thing right now. But you still have to plant crops to get the food, right? And you need feed for animals and this kind of thing. So we're reading truths that were written and applied 3,000 years ago, but they apply now. Why? Because all events in all time in all society are the same. Stay with me. These have been appointed by God. Everybody shares the same time. Everybody shares the same events. No one is immune. The wealthiest have to go through these same things. The poorest in society have to go through these same things. Educated people have to experience these same events. Uneducated people, right? Regardless of your race, whatever. All humanity has to have these divine appointments by God in time and with events. You with me so far? I thought of this analogy. The human body. Every living human has to what? Inhale and exhale. Right? Every living human has blood circulating in the body. Every living human has a need for nutrition and these kind of things. These functions or these activities are ordained by God to maintain life. And whether you live here or in India or in Brazil or China, wherever you live, you still have to inhale and exhale if you're going to maintain life, right? You still have to have nutrition. You still have to have blood circulating through your body, right? These are ordained activities for there to be life in the body. Well, I'm saying to you, God has likewise ordained these events in order for humanity to exist and survive. And these are the same regardless of what culture or society we're talking about. Lastly, we're going to look at what I call human compliance, and I call this the demand of time. Now, stay with me so far. So far, I've shown you that God has established appointments for all humanity. Now, I'm going to make it specific as we talk about you ourselves. The demands of time, here's what I mean by it. God ensures that time is made available for every event and every activity that people need to accomplish. Can you turn to Genesis? Hold your place there. Turn to Genesis 8 and verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God ensures that everybody has enough time to accomplish all that he plans. Now, specific events must occur in specific time frames to accomplish God's specific purpose. Here's what I mean. God has purposes, which means somebody, purposes which include a person that has not been born. In order for that purpose to be fulfilled, that purpose what? That person has to be born. And this is the reason why you can see why man thinks that he can thwart God's plan with, planned reproduction or planned destruction of human life, you know, abortion. Man thinks that he can plan his own way. But the fact is, none of that surprises God, right? God brought Moses out when they had planned murder and abortion back generations ago, okay? They tried to kill Christ. And, the scenario, you can follow that scenario through the scriptures. God's plan is going to be done. But what I'm saying to you is that with the demand of time, he has specific events that must occur at specific times because time demands it. In other words, God has assigned a specific amount of time for human existence. In order to accomplish his will, certain things have to happen. Okay? Now, this is important. Stay with me. We're going to try to pull it all together for you. God has set an appointment for every individual with your birth, with trials, with deliverances, and even death, so that life's cycle, so that you can go through life's cycle. Okay? Here's what I mean. I call it the insistence of time. Every individual must keep the appointment set by God with the events of life. You did not have a vote about when you were going to be born. It was irrelevant what you felt about it. You did not have a vote about which family you would be born into. God had that plan, and that plan was specifically designed for you. Likewise, this is comforting, hopefully comforting for all of us. It may be shocking to some of you. You likewise do not determine when you die. Now, you have... I'm sure you're aware that some people say, well, I beg to differ with that. I can commit suicide. Well, you didn't surprise God with doing that. Right? You understand that. For the believer, we don't go there. We don't presume to short-circuit God's plan for us because we don't know what God has planned for us even in our trials, right? And so what I'm saying is that you have an appointment. Every one of us has an appointment from birth to death. And God makes sure that you will meet your appointments. Let me show you what I mean. Can you turn to Psalm 139? Psalm 139, this will be familiar to most of you, and verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. God says, you were not an accident. Your conception was not an accident. Now, your parents might not have been planning it, but God was. He says, I did that. I formed you. I carefully brought the substance of your very being together. Okay? And so what I'm saying to you is that you had to make that appointment. That appointment was set by God for you to live in the 21st century. You. Think of it. As opposed to the first century. He set the appointment for you and me to live in what? The 21st century. Likewise, James 1, I don't need to turn there. You know what it says. Count it all joy, brothers, what? If? When you face trials of various kinds, right? When it's appointed by God, every believer, not only every believer, every individual is going to have to face trials. It's an appointment by God. You can duck and hide, you can't run from it. God has designed trials customized for every individual, believer and unbeliever, right? And he's made the appointments. Mm-hmm. He's made the appointments. And you remember what I told you about death? Hebrews 9? It is what? Appointed to men to what? Die once. God has made that appointment. And believe me, the appointment, when the appointment comes around, yeah, you have to keep that appointment. These appointments are non-optional and they're non-negotiable. Whether a mother is ready or not, or even whether the baby is ready or not, when it's time for a birth, what's going to happen? There'll be a birth. That appointment. Now, the doctors might have said, oh, well, you're 2 weeks early. Well, you might be 2 weeks early to the doctor. But that was the appointed time for God. Yeah. Right? Right? And so, I mean, these are things that we know, but I'm wanting you to think about how wonderful it is when you see that there's a time and a season for everything, when there's an appointment that God has made for everything. And whether a family and friends are ready or not, when the time comes for someone to die, how much you want them to live, or how much it's going to hurt, doesn't change the fact that they got to keep that what? Appointment. It's non-negotiable. It's non-optional. You see, you know how we do. We make appointments and we what? We call them and... It's not the best time for me. Well, you can't do that with God. Because God didn't set the appointment that was the best time from your perspective. Amen. It's the best time from his perspective. Amen. Whether you feel good about it or not, it's the best time for that appointment. And it's going to be, what? Beautiful. Amen. When? In his time. Amen. In his time. And so time is insistent in this regard. And in other words, that's the reason I call that, the subject of a sermon is time is unrelenting. Time doesn't sit back and wait for you. Time says, this is your appointment. I'm not ready. This is your appointment. You had time to what? Get ready. My brothers, my sisters, that's the deal. God gives every one of us the amount of time to accomplish what needs to be done. He says to us, make the wise use of your time because you're going to keep your appointment. Right? Don't assume that you're going to be healthy always. Don't assume that you're going to be, you know how we did when we were in our 19th and 20th. you know, 50 and 60 seems so old. But it comes so fast. And you know what? I had to keep the 60-year-old appointment, whether I wanted to or not. So it's foolish for people to try to act like you're 40 when you're 60. You already had the appointment. It's obvious to everybody but you. So God says, you had the 50-year appointment. Act like it. Stop acting like you ain't had the appointment yet.
Right.
Because there's a season for everything. I know this is a little bit delicate subject here, but there's a season for your hair to be gray and thinning and, you know, scarce. Right? There's a season for that. Stop trying to pretend that there's not. It's an appointment. God set it up that way. And so it's like when you go to the doctor, you had the appointment and the doctor gives you the assessment. You can fuss with the doctor all you want, but the facts are the facts. This is what you got. And so I'm saying that this is beautiful when you settle down and accept the fact. These are seasons of life. Everybody has them. Young, poor, young, old, wealthy, poor. It's irrelevant about your socioeconomic status. These appointments made by God will be kept. Athletes don't always live to be old. This costs you in, you know, superb health, right? There's a time for every matter under heaven, even the birth of Christ, right? Was it Galatians 4? In what? In the fullness of what?
Time.
And so, Christ had his appointment, and he what? He kept it. And he said, I'm pleased to do the Father's will. And my brother, my sister, that ought to be our testimony. When God shows us our appointment, we ought to be pleased to do it. Every appointment has a divine purpose and is actually beneficial for the believer. We know Romans 8:28, right? God's causing all things to work together for good to those that love him, those that are called according to his purpose. Abraham had to learn that, Isaac and Jacob, right? They had to learn that God had an appointed time for all these events in their life. Look at Joseph. Joseph had to learn that these appointed times were working out God's purpose. Joseph had an appointment to be thrown in that pit. Amen. When his brothers hated him. That was not his choice, but it was God's appointed time, right? He had an appointment for those foreigners to come through and buy him, right? And to take him into slavery. He had an appointment to be there at Potiphar's house. He had an appointment to be chased by his wife, right? He had an appointment for prison. All of those things. He had an appointment. But he also had an appointment to be placed second to the highest in the land, right? And he had an appointment to feed his own people. But he didn't get there by missing appointment. He got there by what? Keeping every appointment along the way.
That's right.
If you're going to get to the what you might think is the big appointment, you have to keep all of the little ones along the way. You don't jump from the one you like to another one that you like. You have to keep all of the appointments because they are all working together. And it's all what? Beautiful. And it's time. God even had appointments you remember he said Pharaoh? Remember he said a Pharaoh in Romans 9? I raised him up for such a time as this. Same is true of Judas. Judas fit an appointed time for God's plan. God has created everything for his purpose, right? Even the wicked. You and me have to keep our own appointments. All right. Very good. Thank you. You've been very patient. And so as we conclude then, I want all of us to think about this. Since God has set or made appointments for all of us, for the varying experiences of life, we must willingly accept these appointments, right? They are not only necessary for life. These appointments are actually good for the believer because God is actively involved. You see, here's the good thing about God. He doesn't send you to an appointment alone. God goes with you, right? Jesus says, what? I'll never leave you, never desert you. So you got to go to an appointment that's something ugly and painful. God says, I'm with you. Even when you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I'm with you. So go on to the appointment. Do it willingly because God is involved. These appointments are not only necessary for life, but they perfectly and beautifully fit into God's wonderful plan of redemption, right? They fit into his plan. And you and I can't always see that. His ways are beyond finding out. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. But he's working all these things to fit in his plan of redemption. Appointments are not always pleasant, but appointments are always necessary. The benefit of appointments are not always readily apparent, but in God's time, the results always bring joy to the believer. Therefore, my brother, my sister, count it all joy as you meet trials of various kinds, or if you will, as you meet appointments of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You're going to be stronger when you go through your trial. You're going to be stronger when you have that appointment. You'll be stronger when you walk away from that appointment. You'll be strong. You may be bloody. You may have had your feelings just slammed and smashed, but God says, go through it because I'm making you stronger. I'm maturing you. I'm showing you the way to be able to handle life. Don't be afraid of your appointments. They are for your good, not for evil. And if you're not a Christian, you have some appointments in life too. God has already made them for you. My friend, whether you're a Christian or not, you got appointments. You have already had your appointment with birth, right? If you're here today, whether you're a Christian or not, you already had that appointment. But God also says to you, you also need to remember you're going to have an appointment with death. And the only way you can be ready for that appointment is to have the appointment with Jesus before you die. And so if you're not a Christian, I just want to encourage you today. Jesus is right here, right now, ready to have that appointment with you. Would you please surrender to him and meet with him today? He'll save you. He'll set you free. He'll give you real joy. But you got to have that appointment with Jesus. He's the Savior, and he'll save you today. Our Father, thank you for all of the marvelous ways that you work in us, and for us, and through us. Thank you for knowing our future and having already planned it and actively moving us toward it. Thank you for being patient with us as we struggle with our appointments and trials and tests in life. Help us today to be at peace with those reluctant appointments the ones that we reluctantly face anyway. Help us to find real peace today and real joy as we submit ourselves to your will and your way and your plan. Thank you for these few minutes that we had together in your presence, and I pray where this lump of clay has not been clear, has erred in any way, I pray that you would forever remove that from the minds of these your people, but help them to never escape the truth that you are calling them and us to today. We all want to be submitted to your will and your way. Work among us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, and let's take just a minute and bow together and